My wife, Benedicta, loves singing competitions, and being the dutiful husband that I am, I watch them with her, even though I'd prefer a good Western or a classic movie. The other day, we were watching the show American Idol. This show features singing hopefuls that sing before three judges in the early stages, attempting to gain their approval in order to move forward to the next rounds of the competition. One of the judges was the popular singing star Katy Perry, who is usually lively, outgoing, and sympathetic toward all the singers, even when they obviously do not have the talent to win the competition. Recently, a young female singer was introduced to the three judges, and as usual, they made small talk before she sang. Katy asked her a common question about whether winning American Idol was her dream. The girl paused as though unsure as to how to answer her, and then said that she didn't know, she was still processing the whole experience. This was clearly not the answer Katy was expecting or wanting. She instantly morphed from friendly Katy to hostile Katy, and told the girl something like this, "Well, if you don't know whether this is your dream, you'd better leave because there are plenty of people behind you who have big dreams of winning this thing." It was an awkward moment, and to the singing hopeful's credit, she did not cave. She did not immediately repent and suggest that she was misunderstood and that, yeah, this was her dream, this was the major goal of her life. The girl went on to sing for the judges and did a credible job. She had a good, if not great, voice, certainly as good as many of the others that had won their golden ticket to go to Hollywood and participate in the next round of the competition. But as the judges deliberated and talked further with the singer, Katy made reference to the idea of making this her dream, and you got the impression that in Katy's mind, the very thought that winning American Idol was not the supreme goal of this young woman's life was horrifying and nearly unforgivable. In the end, Katy reluctantly gave her vote to send her on to Hollywood in the next round, but it was obvious that she wasn't very happy about this girl and her lack of musical dreams. If there's one thing I've learned by watching American Idol and other singing competitions, it is that the number one commandment among all these people, both the judges and the competitors, is, "Thou shalt follow thy dream of being a successful, popular, and wealthy professional singer." Often the singers will state that they have no plan B in their lives. They'll either make it as a big-name singer or they will perish. No working at a restaurant or office or grocery store for them. They will pursue their dreams regardless of how long they take to be fulfilled or how much their family must suffer as a result. And often, when a singer wins one of these competitions and they are asked, "What have you learned from this whole experience?" they will answer in lockstep with all those who've gone before them, "I've learned that you must follow your dreams. If you do that, eventually it will pay off." In some ways, you can hardly blame them. Following their dreams did indeed work out well for them. As children, they had dreams of becoming a successful singer, and now here they are being crowned the best of the best and given a major contract with a recording company. And their thinking is, "It worked for me, and if it worked for me, it'll work for everybody." But, of course, that is patently false. The truth is that it does not work for everybody. In fact, it works for only a tiny few. The people they beat out in their competition, those hundreds and thousands who competed against them, had big dreams, just as big, just as powerful as their dream. But it didn't work out for them at all. The great majority of these folks are going to go right back home to their construction jobs or waitress jobs or office jobs and teaching jobs, and life will go right back to normal. No contract, no confetti falling on their heads, no interviews with the early morning talk shows, just ordinary life the way most of us live every day. Dreams are no dreams. And this is not only true of singers, it is true in all kinds of professions. Every day, hundreds of thousands of poor young men who live in poor neighborhoods go down to the basketball court and shoot hoops for hours. They hope to become the next basketball superstar like their heroes in the NBA. And a few of them will succeed, but it will be a very, very few. 99-point-something% of them will never make it into professional basketball, and their time would have been far better spent studying hard in school, making a diligent effort not to be a superstar, but to get a good job as an adult and to be able to raise a family comfortably, pay their bills, and enjoy a pleasant and fulfilling life. Christians do not think the way the world thinks. When these young singing wannabes proclaim that their dream is to become a renowned singer, they're usually not thinking about how they could honor Christ through their singing or bless many people and bear much fruit for God through a successful career. They're usually thinking about the pleasure of fame and having people clamor for their autographs and everyone telling them how special they are. They're thinking about how nice it would be to make millions of dollars and all the things they could buy with those millions. And, of course, they're thinking about how fantastic it would be to cut a few records each year and do some concerts compared with their present job at Walmart. Yeah, that would be the life. And by all means, I must follow my dream and do everything I can to make it happen. Are followers of Jesus Christ allowed to have dreams? Yes, we are, but our dreams of a glorious future career or ministry must be subservient to our one real passion, which is to please, follow, and serve our Lord Jesus. The question is not what dreams do we have for ourselves, but what are His dreams for us? Or to put it more biblically, what is God's calling on our lives? Just because we want something badly does not automatically guarantee that this is God's will for us. Our goal should not be to be rich or famous or to be the very best in our field. It is for us to discern precisely what is God's plan for us and then follow in the footsteps of Jesus so that this plan may be perfectly fulfilled. Whether we rank as the very best in our profession or end up somewhere in the middle, well, that's God's business, as long as we're doing the best we can by the grace of God. Tom Landry was a coach of the Dallas Cowboys professional football team for nearly 30 years, and he brought his team to the Super Bowl in 5 different seasons, winning 2 of them. He was considered, in the 1970s, to be one of the most successful football coaches in the world. You might say that all his football dreams had come true. Once after the Cowboys won the Super Bowl, a reporter asked him how he felt about winning the biggest football game in the world. His reply must have shocked that reporter and many of the audience who heard the interview. Landry stated that, yeah, it was great to win the Super Bowl, but his life was bigger than football. Jesus Christ and God were what his life was all about. Family came second, and football came a distant third. Amen, Brother Tom. Our life is bigger than fame or money or popularity or TV cameras in our face. Our life is about service to God and our fellow man. True greatness does not consist in talent alone. It's made from godly character. Our Lord Jesus gives us the true definition of greatness, saying this, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many."